It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned into the Second Amendment Radio Show. We'd just like to shorten that down to 2A Radio. I'd like to speak, obviously, on the mass shooting in Tucson over the weekend, where a suspect by the name of Jared Loughner ended up shooting Representative Gabby Giffords in the back of the head, as well as 19 other people, including what I believe to be the biggest tragedy of every victim there, was the death of 9-year-old Christina Taylor Greene. We've all learned she was born on 9/11. She was born on a day of tragedy. She died in the midst of tragedy in Tucson, Arizona. So we now have parents who are relieved of the joy of raising their daughter. It's been completely removed from them. And I don't mean relieved as in there's relief. I mean relieved as in you no longer have that joy. And I bring this up because I have daughters. I have a 9-year-old daughter. And I can only imagine. I cannot profess to know what they're going through. I can only imagine. Christina Taylor Greene, 9 years old, just got elected to student council at her school. A neighbor said, you know, Representative Gabby Giffords is going to be speaking. Do you want to go? Maybe you can meet her. All excited. Parents say, okay. So the neighbor lady takes her there. Gabby dies. The neighbor lady is shot. She's in the hospital. She's injured severely. And imagine what she's going to have to live with. Not that she did anything wrong. But just, oh my gosh, I wanted this to be a good thing. And now that's on someone's conscience. It's on their conscience. It's the major tragedy of this entire ordeal, as I see it. Now let's talk a little bit about the entire incident. You have Gabby Giffords, Democrat representative out of Arizona. Now, Gabby's been referred to as a conservative liberal, which, you know, it's, You probably just heard the Dave Champion show here on Liberty and Accent, where he referred to that as being a compassionate rapist. I did some checking into Gabby Giffords. Gabby was a Republican her entire life until about 10 years ago. In 2000, she switched to the Democrat Party. When she did make it to Congress, she immediately joined the Blue Dog Democrats. That's a group. Now, there's the Yellow Dog Democrats and the Blue Dog Democrats. Let me explain that for those of you who don't understand. A Yellow Dog Democrat is a term coined by folks in the South, where they said that some people are so vehemently Democrat, if you put a yellow dog on the ticket, as long as that yellow dog was registered as a Democrat, some people would vote for him, as opposed to the human Republican. The Blue Dog Democrats came out because they said, because of the Yellow Dog Democrats that were so leftist, that were elected to Congress, they were choking the life out of the rest of the Democrats in the party, so they were turning blue because of they were choking the life out of the entire party. So if you could consider more moderate Democrats, I wouldn't call them conservative Democrats, more moderate Democrats, they would belong to the Blue Dog Democrats. Just so you understand, the legislative session that just ended a couple of weeks ago, there were some like 46 Blue Dog Democrats. Half of them got voted out. There's only like 20-something now. And Gabby Giffords has been a member of that group. She's voted on pro-gun, but she's also voted for Obamacare. And, you know, typical Democrat sort of political party, party affiliation, I should say. And that was obviously, she was the target. Additionally, you have Judge John Rawl, who was shot and killed. Of course, Gabby Giffords in her current condition, you know, what happened, how is the recovery going to go? The thing is, I don't know that the media really seems to understand that brain injuries truly are, as the neurosurgeon said, progress in neurosurgery from brain injury is measured in months and years, and it truly is. I've known several people who have had traumatic brain injuries that you just don't recover from, or they recover from very, very slowly. I don't know a one of about the five or six that I know who's ever had a rapid recovery. It just doesn't happen. As a matter of fact, my nephew died at 15 years old. This was about almost 15 years ago, 14 years ago. He died. He had a brain aneurysm that had been undetected and just sporadically burst when he's out with his friends skateboarding. Brain surgery, trying to relieve the pressures, things such as that, blah, da, da. They said after 48 hours, things should be okay. At 48 hours, he went through some trouble. He ended up making it through. At 72 hours, unexpected trouble and brain swelling came. And unfortunately, my nephew, my brother, and his wife, their son, Paul, died at 15 from really nothing that you can lay your finger on. There was nowhere, nothing to blame. It's not like it was a random act of violence or a car accident or anything. So I have some family experience related to the loss of a child through the eyes of my brother and his wife, Julie, and also through having my own kids and being around other folks who've had different tragedies like this. One of the biggest tragedies that I see is nobody there was carrying a gun. Arizona is one of only three states where they have constitutional carry now. Happened in July. You don't need to have a permit to carry a gun. Why was nobody carrying a gun? I guess I can only guess that because it was an organization, a whole gathering, I should say, of Democrats who don't tend to be the type of people who will carry a gun and take their own personal safety seriously. They want to rely on the 911 system or someone else to take care of them. There's probably nobody there carrying a gun. Had it been a rally with John McCain or some other Republican member of Congress, you probably would have had several people out in this parking lot packing guns who would have shot to stop this guy. So we're going to get into some of the comments about the sheriff there in Pima County, where Tucson is, and some of the comments, obviously, from the political sides that have decided to make this a political issue. And we're going to talk about that in the next segment. So stay tuned. We're going to bring these things to light. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you're tuned in right here to 2A Radio.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
All right, guys, welcome back. The sheriff of Pima County by the name of Clarence Dupnik. Now, he says that the suspect, Jared Loeffner, acted alone. Let me read this to you. Arizona authorities say the gunman accused of shooting an Arizona congresswoman and killing six others acted alone. Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik says Sunday that there's no evidence that anybody besides 22-year-old suspect Jared Loeffner was involved. Authorities earlier cleared a suspected accomplice, a cab driver, of involvement. Dupnik says the cab driver walked into the Tucson Safeway store with Loeffner because the driver didn't have change for 20. He says the shooting occurred just after the two exchanged money. So, okay. They have gone through Loeffner's house, they've gone through his safe, they've gone through everything, and they found nothing to indicate that anybody else was involved. And of course, you had all kinds of other garbage that come out. First of all, after the shooting initially happened, someone said it was an automatic weapon. Someone said it was an automatic rifle. Of course, another news agency came out and went to the default. It was an AK-47. Then we learn it was a 9mm Glock. We later learn it was a Glock Model 19 9mm. We later learn it was a Glock Model 19 9mm with a 33-round magazine in it that had 31 rounds. And after depleting that first magazine, he was in the process of reloading the gun when a woman who had already been injured by his bullets tried to stop him by knocking the empty magazine out of his hand, trying to keep him from reloading the gun, and two other guys came over and ended up subduing him, sitting on him and keeping him, holding him for the cops. So bravery right there, first of all, by the woman who was already shot, trying to keep him from getting any other victims notched into his belt, and the other guys that came up there and really put hands on to an armed suspect and put him to the ground. The Pima County Sheriff, again, his name is Clarence Dubnik. Allegedly, this guy actually has a personal friendship or some sort of association with Representative Gabby Giffords. Evidently, they know each other. So, he has a some personal involvement in, or at least some personal emotion involved in all of this. So, he already opened his mouth and started setting off a debate on the price of free speech. So let me read a little bit of this to you. It says, heightened in vitriolic political rhetoric is being blamed by some for the kind of violence that landed Representative Gabby Giffords in intensive care following a mass casualty shooting on Saturday, but others say a blame game is hardly appropriate or useful right now. Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dubnik sparked much of the debate during a press conference Saturday evening in which he blamed talk radio and television for a decline in America. So you're taking somebody who is standing up there in the position of authority, the position of governmental police authority, and takes that opportunity to lay out a personal view on something, which then, because of the venue that we have, he's an authority, he's speaking on a case, and he takes the opportunity to lay out something that's personal. People don't separate that out. He says, I think the vitriolic rhetoric that we hear today, that we hear day in and day out from people in the radio business and some people in the TV business, and what we see on TV and how our youngsters are being raised, that this is not blame, or this has not become the nice United States of America that most of us grew up in. And I think it's time that we do our soul searching, the sheriff said. And then on Sunday, he didn't back down. He followed up by saying, I think we're in the tombstone of the United States of America. As he said, of the Grand Canyon State, where the earlier called the Mecca of hatred and bigotry. He says, to try to inflame the public on a daily basis, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, has impact on people, especially who are unbalanced personalities to begin with. Now, Representative James Claiborne, a Democrat out of South Carolina, said, the sheriff out there in Tucson, I think he's got it right. That's what he said. He told Fox News Sunday. He said, words do have consequences, and I think that we have to really, this is nothing new. I have been saying this for a long time now. He's talking about cleaning things up. He says, I think the sheriff was right. That's an additional comment by Representative Steny Hoyer, another Democrat, this time out of Maryland, who appeared on CBS's Face the Nation. Bob, when you and I grew up, we grew up listening to essentially three major news outlets, NBC, ABC, and of course CBS. We listened to people like Walter Cronkite and Eric Sievrand and Huntley Brinkley, and they saw their job as to inform us as to the facts, and we could make a conclusion. Far too many broadcasts now, and so many outlets have the intent of inciting people to opposition, to anger, to thinking that the other side is less than moral. And I think that is a context in which somebody who is mentally unbalanced can somehow feel justified in taking this kind of action. And I think we need to all take cognizance of that and be aware that what we say can, in fact, have consequences. So what they're doing, in fact, is rallying around, let's curb the conservative speech in America. Guys, this is a tragedy by one lone psychotic gunman. Yet again, history shows this. History shows something else. You cannot prevent these sorts of things all the time. So now what we have is we have all of these different people in Congress that are anti-gun. They're talking about passing new laws and introducing new legislation to prevent this sort of tragedy from happening again in the future. Folks, I have to tell you, bad things will happen in life, and absolutely no amount of laws will prevent bad things from happening in life. They're going to happen. The answer is to stop them in their infancy or at their inception. How could this have been stopped at its infancy or at its inception? The answer is someone with a gun shooting this man to the ground. Someone else with a gun shooting the suspect, Jared Loughner, to the ground as he begins to launch his attack. You still might have had one or two people shot. You would not have had 20 people shot. I was speaking with somebody on the phone last night about this very subject, and this person told me, you know, I'm kind of glad nobody else had a gun because the police might have been mistaking other people and there might have been more people hurt. My response was, I disagree, because if someone else had a gun, 20 people wouldn't have got shot. Maybe two, maybe three, possibly, before someone pulled their gun out and shot and stopped this guy. And I tell you that the cops, the people who weren't shot, and the families of the people who weren't shot, all would have been much happier. So there's my response to that. I have said many times before that we know that there's legislation, anti-gun legislation, sitting on someone's shelf, waiting for an emotional opportunity to introduce it. And that has happened. We already have that happening today, 48 hours after the shooting. And I'm going to tell you all about that. It's no surprise who introduced it. There's only five or six people who would. It's no surprise who did. And I will tell you all about that when we come back from this next break. So stay tuned. You're going to want to hear this. This is something that's happened in history. It's fully predictable. I've talked about it many times. And sure enough, the proof is in the pudding, and we're going to give you the flavor of that pudding as soon as we return. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in right here to 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
Hi, guys. Welcome back. Just so you know, the suspect in this whole shooting in Tucson, Jared Loughner, bought this Glock 19 from a federally licensed firearm dealer in Tucson. As a matter of fact, the sporting goods store that he went in to buy it, I've shopped there before when I've been in Tucson even. I went in there and I got a couple little pieces of reloading gear a few years ago. It's near Sportsman's Warehouse, I think is the name of it. Yeah, there it is in my notes, Sportsman's Warehouse. And it's a neat store. It's a really big, very cool sporting goods store. He bought the gun there. And he passed the FBI background check. So, it says he's had a lot of different issues that have come up. He was enrolled at the Pima County Community College, eventually expelled, and his parents were sent a letter that said, We need to have some sort of a letter saying that he's certifiably mentally okay and balanced before we're going to allow him to re-enroll. Because there's been several different things to cause us to not allow him to come back. All mentally based. Several things. We have a file on him. Of course, that doesn't go. He hasn't been convicted of anything. So it doesn't go to the FBI database. Then from there, there's no hold, no prevention of him buying a gun. No amount of laws is going to stop that. No amount of laws that don't infringe on our liberties is going to stop that. So if we wanted to infringe on the Constitution, all of our liberties, all of our natural rights that God provided to us at the time of inception, if we want to infringe on those, then maybe. But that's not going to cure anybody of the mental debilitating conditions that they have. It's just not going to happen. So, the right way to stop this is for someone else to be there with a gun and to shoot the guy. That's what it takes. So, not surprisingly, a piece of anti-gun legislation is being introduced today. It may have already have been by this time. And that is by Carolyn McCarthy, of course. So here's a little story for you. One of the fiercest gun control advocates in Congress, Representative Carolyn McCarthy, Democrat out of New York, pounced on the shooting massacre in Tucson on Sunday, promising to introduce legislation as soon as the following day, Monday, being today. McCarthy ran for Congress after her husband was gunned down and her son seriously injured in a Long Island shooting in 1993. She says, "My staff is working on looking at the different legislation fixes that we might be able to do, and we might be able to introduce as early as tomorrow," meaning today, McCarthy told Politico in a Sunday afternoon phone interview. Now, what is that piece of legislation supposed to do? Is it supposed to try to prevent this sort of thing? No. Legislation isn't going to prevent this. Someone else with a gun is going to stop this. That's what it is. Now, carrying on with this article, gun control activists cried. It was time to reform weapons laws in the United States almost immediately after the gunman killed 6 and injured 14 more, of course, including Representative Gabby Giffords in Arizona on Saturday. Many said that people with a history of mental instability, like the alleged shooter, Jared Lee Loeffner, should not be able to buy a gun, and no one should be able to buy stockpiles of ammunition used by the 22-year-old assailant. Stockpiles. He had 91 rounds on him. That's hardly a stockpile. McCarthy said she plans to confer with House Speaker John Boehner and Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi to see, quote, if we can work something through in the coming week. Of course, what we're talking about is somebody who has the political agenda of being anti-gun that wants to capitalize and get knee-jerk legislation through based on an emotional response to a fresh tragedy. Nothing and anything at all dealing with all the filthy, disgusting things that happen on Capitol Hill in our nation's capital is more disgusting and more deplorable than actions like this. You play on a nation's emotions before they have the opportunity to gather themselves together and think logically and try to force some sort of knee-jerk, reactive legislation that is nothing but liberty-stealing and constitutionally violating filth on paper. Now, McCarthy's spokesman confirmed the legislation will target the high-capacity ammunition clips the Arizona gunman allegedly used in the shooting, but neither he nor the congresswoman offered any further details. Just so you understand, what this guy used, a clip doesn't work in a Glock. They use magazines. Clips exist, magazines exist. They are two entirely different pieces of equipment. The names do not interchange. They are exclusively different. Here's a quote. "Again, we need to look at how this is going to work to protect people, certainly citizens. And we have to look at what I can pass," McCarthy said. I don't want to give the NRA, excuse the pun, the ammunition to come at me either. Really. Pennsylvania Representative Robert Brady, a Democrat from Philadelphia, told CNN that he also plans to take legislative action. He will introduce a bill that will make it a crime for anyone to use language or symbols that could be seen as threatening or violent against a federal official, including a member of Congress. So one of them wants to violate the Second Amendment. The other one wants to violate the First Amendment. Security in the name of liberty. He who gives up liberty or freedoms for the sake of security, or in this case and in just about every case, the false sense of security, deserves neither security, freedom, nor liberty. Anybody who's willing to give those things up, they just do not deserve any of it. None. That's the way I stand on it. Now, here's a little piece that says that Gabby Giffords has been a longtime supporter of gun rights. I'm going to read this to you. Representative Gabby Giffords, the Arizona Democrat targeted in a Saturday shooting that killed 6 and injured 13, 14 actually, at an event for constituents, was holding a similar, Congress on Your Corner gathering at a Safeway grocery store in 2009 when a man dropped a loaded gun onto the ground. Citing safety concerns, staffers called the police. But Giffords, a centrist Democrat in a conservative-leaning desert district, later made light of the 2009 encounter with an armed man. He says, when you represent a district that includes the homes of the OK Corral and Tombstone, the town too tough to die, nothing's a surprise, Giffords said, told the Arizona Republic editorial board. The same month, Giffords encountered the gun-wielding man at a grocery store. Police spotted a man carrying a rifle and a pistol outside a Phoenix event where President Obama was speaking. Asked why he was so heavily armed, the man told the Arizona Republic, because I can do it. In Arizona, I still have some freedoms. Arizona has some of the nation's most lenient gun laws. Rather, what they have is they have failed to restrict the rights of people in Arizona. It's not that they have lenient laws, laws that allow people to do stuff. They have the absence of restrictive laws. Over the summer, Governor Jan Brewer signed a bill into law allowing law-abiding residents to carry concealed weapons without a permit. We refer to that as constitutional carry. It's one of several pro-gun laws passed under Brewer, who, in her first year in office, also signed a bill prohibiting property owners from banning weapons in parking lots as long as the weapons are kept in locked vehicles. We're going to share more of this after the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back on! I know that you are wrong if this is
Hey guys, welcome back. Now again, this article that I'm reading to you about says that Giffords has been a gun supporter. We're going to really get into that now. It says, although Giffords supported a ban on semi-automatic weapons in November of 2000 and has received a low grade in the D range from both the NRA and lobbying groups, the other lobbying group, Gun Owners of America, the three-term congresswoman has been vocal about her support for gun owners' rights. She says, it's, as a longtime gun owner, I believe the right to keep and bear arms should not be dependent on the city in which you live. Giffords said that in a September 2008 press release after the House passed a measure requiring Washington, D.C. to retool its gun laws. See, according to published reports, Giffords owned a Glock at the time. Quote, the provisions of the U.S. Constitution apply to all Americans regardless of geography. 3 months later, Gifford had joined a bipartisan group of 300 lawmakers in sending an amicus brief to the Supreme Court arguing for gun owners' rights at issues in the case in the District of Columbia v. Heller. She says, as a gun owner, I am a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. In February, I was proud to sign the amicus brief in District of Columbia v. Heller asking the Supreme Court to uphold the lower court ruling that overturned the long-standing D.C. gun ban. Gifford said, we have a long tradition of gun ownership in the United States. It's a tradition which every law-abiding citizen should be able to enjoy. Now, although she said all of these things, she has voted for anti-gun legislation. Not that this has any bearing whatsoever on what happened on Saturday. I'm bringing all of this to light because if it were an organization of going out on the street corner in a parking lot with your representative, and that representative was staunchly Republican, that representative was a Tea Party candidate, that representative have, or senator for that matter, was pro-gun and, you know, just pro-liberties all around, many of the people in the audience would have been packing heat. That alone would prevent any most of the other psychotics out there, like Jared Lefner, it would prevent them from even going and trying this because they would know, no matter how psychotic they would know, a lot of people in the audience have guns. People do not get away with mass shootings unless they're either in a gun-free zone or they're amongst people who do not believe in taking care of their own safety and security. People who don't believe in taking care of their own safety and security leave it up to others to provide them with safety and security, such as the police. If you have an entire group of people that congregate and want, they rely on others to take care of their safety and security, they're all a bunch of lemmings sitting there waiting like fish in a barrel to get plucked off by anybody who's psychotic enough to go after them. You have a group of like-minded people. And part of that mindset is not defending yourself, not having a gun, because they look at a gun as an instrument of destruction, an instrument of evil, if you will, rather than a tool for self-protection against evil. Had it been a group of people supporting a newly elected Tea Party candidate or a staunchly pro-gun Republican or really staunchly pro-gun anybody, there would have been people out there with guns. This guy would have not gotten 31 rounds off and certainly not shot 20 people, having killed six of them, including a 9-year-old girl. That wouldn't have happened. That wouldn't have happened with a crowd of people who take their own safety and security seriously. Now, some gun store owner came out. I think it was, pardon me, I think he was actually a gun store owner in the town of Tombstone, Arizona. It still is there. The town exists. You can go there. And, of course, they have, you know, all the OK Corral stuff. And you know, it's neat. I've taken my kids there, actually. It's a neat little town. It is a real-life town. A gun store owner, I think that's where he is from, I don't have the story in front of me, said something along the lines of there should be laws requiring training about blah da 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 da. I have to tell you something. It's unfortunate that someone has to suggest that there should be a law at least requiring people who are going to carry a gun for self-defense. There should be a law requiring them to get proper training. There shouldn't have to be anything like that. There isn't in Arizona. There shouldn't have to be a law requiring that. Because if you're going to buy a gun and carry it for personal protection, you should have the self-discipline and the self-motivation to want to get that training. Somebody that goes in and blindly buys a gun, a box of 50 rounds, loads up the gun, puts it in a holster, covers it up, and now they're legal. And they think that they have the ability to protect themselves. Are the type of people that are so miserably ignorant and, dare I say, stupid, that they're the ones that need to read the warning label on the hairdryer that says, don't use this hairdryer while you're sitting in a bathtub full of water. Those are the same kinds of people. I don't want them carrying a gun. The type of people that buy a gun, take their self-protection and the protection of their family, the protection of their neighbors, the protection of their community seriously, they actively go out and seek out good, proper training. Not the garbage you get at the local gun store where you go out on the range and you shoot some silhouette untimed with a bench in front of you on some big, ugly B-27 target that doesn't represent any decent zones to actually shoot at. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting real-life, proper gun handling and firearms training. Know how to present your gun out, get good, rapid, accurate hits on the target where you want them, and keep the gun running, clearing malfunctions, reloading the gun. That's the type of training I'm talking about. And for this jackwagon, dumbass gun store owner to come out and say anything about concealed carry holders is stupid, because that has nothing to do with anything that happened at this whole Gifford shooting, at this whole event on Saturday in Tucson. There were no armed citizens, law-abiding armed citizens out there carrying concealed. There were none. So why that subject even broached the topic? Why that even escaped this man's lips? I have no idea. It has nothing to do with what happened, because there was nobody there actually packing. If someone actually pulled their gun out from a concealed or even exposed holster, if any citizen was actually there packing, if even one of them had pulled that gun out and shot Jared Loeffner, that SOB, right in the middle of his rampage, and prevented the additional deaths and injuries that ended up happening because there was no armed citizen there. If there had been, then maybe we could talk about the responsibilities of armed citizens. If someone in the crowd had pulled out their gun to shoot and stop Loeffner, whatever his name is, and they missed and shot innocent people, then we could talk about the training. None of that happened. So for this guy to stand up on his soapbox and talk about needing legislation to do that is the sorts of things that I just want to open hand slap somebody for saying. That's speaking from a position of nothing but pure ignorance. Speaking from a position of pure ignorance is definitely the sort of thing that happens on the left. As we see Carolyn McCarthy and this other dumbass, whoever he is, that I talked about earlier from Pennsylvania, they want to start introducing legislation for gun control and speech control. Really. Let's pretend that either of those laws were on the books today. If they were on the books 2 years ago, okay, well, we're going to restrict magazines. You can't have more than 10 rounds. Would that have stopped the guy? No. What about, well, we can't have the little target area over somebody's district. Would that have stopped this guy? No. Neither piece of legislation is going to do anything. And the only thing that's going to stop somebody from doing something like this is someone there with a gun, the knowledge, the ability, and the mindset to use it to shoot and stop this guy and the other guys that might do this in the future.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you, Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2aradio.com. I will not.